Hello, grandkids, and welcome to the very last Stunt Granny audio prior to WrestleMania. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is going on, sir?
Not too much, Kevin. About 2 hours into this WWE Hall of Fame presentation, they've only gotten through three inductees so far, and Kid Rock is up next, so I definitely thought this was a very appropriate time to jump on.
Yeah, I have not been watching that due to packing. I will have to post. My wife is an enabler, and she got me a whole bunch of mini characters to take with us to New Orleans there. So I have a bag. We'll travel. I'm kind of excited, to say the least. So, and definitely one of the things that I'm excited about is because not more than a few hours after I land, I will be enjoying NXT TakeOver New Orleans.
I wish I could be there with you guys, because it does seem like a pretty damn good show.
Yeah, I mean, both, cards, I would say, for the WWE, look very, very good on paper. And I guess, would you expect, the ladder match to kick things off? Just because they have, that has been used in the past, is an opener to get the card to get everyone going.
I could see that as a quite the possibility. Yeah, I think that ladder matches have proven to be nowadays that they're not used as much as a main event gimmick, especially on a show like WrestleMania. That, you know, they can open the show pretty hot. You got some great talent in the match. So it will be interesting to see the, you know, kind of match positioning with one Mr. Adam Cole most likely pulling double duty during the course of this evening.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. I mean, you've really got to put him in an early match one way or the other. I think that if it's not the ladder match that's early, it's the tag team match.
Yeah, I would say so. I'd say that, yeah, it would. One of those two matches is going to open the show, and it's going to be, you know once again, either way, with the talent involved in either of those matches, because it's, well, six guys, and they're both six-man matches with no tags and everyone in the ring at the same time. You know, a clusterfuck in the nicest way, I will say it. So, either way, though. Actually, no, the tag team match wouldn't be six-man in the ring at the same time. Never mind,
I think you might have been getting at the point that, you know, you can get into rest spots a lot.
Yeah, get into rest spots, but meanwhile, there's always something going on in the ring while various talents are, you know, cycling out. You know, so either one of those matches, I presume, will be the opener. I think they'll go with the ladder match.
No.
So, I don't know what... Because they usually don't like to put the women's match on too early. You know, they don't. This Gargano Ciampa story, which we'll talk about, could arguably close the show if they would decide to go that route. And then, of course, the championship match will be, you know, either last match or second to last, because that's how they usually like to do it. So they may put those two matches on back to back. Probably much to Mr. Cole and Mr. O'Reilly's chagrin, but I could see them doing that.
Well, and it does, in some ways, it gives them ammunition to talk about being screwed. Which, you know, I mean, they are heels, so it definitely helps in a storyline sense.
Right, yeah, it absolutely does. I mean, this is obviously, they tried to screw up a match. They screwed up the finals of the Dusty Classic. They, you know, disrespected the memory of Dusty Rhodes. So, you know, and Ringo's a close friend of Dusty Rhodes. So he, you know, he did this purely, made this move purely out of spite. So I don't see them, I don't see Adam Cole losing two matches. Adam Cole has actually lost quite a bit in NXT so far.
Yeah, yeah, that is
a big win at all.
That has been very surprising to me. Like, but it's not really hurting. I mean, everyone is still saying Adam Cole, baby. So I think that he'll weather the storm. But it has been surprising the amount of losses that he's racked up.
Yeah, I agree too. I'm a big Adam Cole guy. Although there is a growing resentment of him on old wrestling Twitter and. I don't like it at all. He's Adam Cole. As Cody Rhodes called it, called his issue with Kenny Omega, Adam Cole has handsome guy heat, in my opinion.
Oh, well, you know, that very well could be the case.
But I could... Well, because they're also... Because these two matches are obviously so lumped in together with the Adam Cole factor... I don't see Undisputed Era retaining the tag team championships because they've also, you know, thrown the Dusty Classic trophy as a prize in this match as well. And of course, Undisputed Era were not actually in the Dusty Classic, so it'd almost be kind of silly for for them to walk away with a trophy after the other two teams, won two matches to get in and then had their final match interrupted. So I see them losing the tag team. I could, because I'm fairly certain that Authors of Pain are going up to the main roster. They've been spinning their wheel. They've been spinning their wheels in NXT for a while now. So I could certainly see the somewhat mismatched team of Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne walking out with the tag team championships here.
They definitely seem to be wanting to get the guys from the UK tournament on TV more.
They indeed do.
So, I guess it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, because he's wrestled... Has it been three matches on NXT for the UK title? Because I know that Roderick Strong was one of his opponents. I feel like he at least fought one other...
He fought Adam... Well, that's just recently. He fought Adam Cole longer ago. He certainly had another match with... Tyler Bate.
Oh, yeah.
And another excellent match there. I mean, Pete Dunne is definitely has a lot of potential. I know they seem to have him earmarked for a UK division that will take place with shows being, you know, filmed in the UK, but I'd give serious thought to a Pete Dunne main roster run.
Oh. Yeah, they might give him a little bit of time. Down there just to see what happens, I suppose. But I agree with you. He has a lot of potential and it's shown a lot in all of his matches.
He's definitely something different. That he could, you know, he could certainly get over on the main roster at least at a TO5 live level, but I think I'd give him serious consideration to a run on Raw or SmackDown for him. But for right now, him and NXT continuing to defend the UK Championship, now picking up tag team championships. I think he's definitely in a good position in NXT. He seems to be brought in for every NXT taping now and every takeover, where that wasn't necessarily the case.
Oh, right.
So they're obviously very high on him, though he is still, you know, working, you know, his independent shots and As our friend over at the Torch, Rich Van, reporting throughout the day on Twitter, he's tearing it up on various, you know, WrestleMania weekend shows, including Progress shows in New Orleans, and once again, just generally just being an incredible, incredible performer who certainly deserves everything he's got, he's getting.
Yeah. So, because I agree with you too that at AOP, it would be kind of silly for them to win the title 2 years coming. Like, it doesn't do anything for them that they haven't already done in NXT. You know, so why don't they should move along? Plus, their physique is more suited for the main roster tag teams than anyone down in NXT right now.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Authors of Pain are, you know, they're as good as they're going to get in NXT. As I mentioned before, they are spinning their wheels. I was actually surprised they even were put in this match ahead of, say, Sanity. But once again, but I think they wanted another showcase for them and their power moves, because I'm fairly certain in post WrestleMania, you know, they're going up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that covers the tag team end of the possibilities for Adam Cole. Do you think he ends up picking up the North American Championship, or do you think that is ticketed for someone else?
You know what? Because when Bobby Fish originally went down with the injury some time ago, it was before the last set of tapings. They could have pulled Adam Cole from this North American Championship ladder match and just put him exclusively in the Tag Team Championship match. In my way of thinking, if he wasn't already supposed to win the damn thing. So I'm picking Adam Cole here, I think. Because well, he won't be the only member of Undisputed Era, you know, without a title. Yeah, after tomorrow, likely, I would say. But as a heel with you know being chased, I think Adam Cole would make a good first North American champion.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of bad answers in this group, in my opinion. Because, you know, yet again, the WWE is completely fine with, like, oh, you found a good gimmick somewhere else, why don't you come back here now? With EC3, who is doing the, you know, the same thing that he was doing in TNA. You know, Killian Dane and Lars Sullivan, they're kind of the same thing, you know, a monster guy with the belt, but I'm not sure how well I don't know how far they have to go with the belt, but I mean I guess it's a good starting point for both of them. I mean, it definitely would put Killian Dane on the map, but I guess I don't find that or think that's going to happen this time around.
Yeah, I don't see the two big boys winning the ladder match here, especially with it certainly not being either their type of match. Although both guys can do, you know, some good stuff. I mean, they're obviously in it to do some power moves. They're in it to, you know, be the base for, you know, flying moves off of the ladder. So, I mean, I think that this could be a good showing for them, but I don't see them winning. EC3 is a possibility, but he is just so new. I think they need to do some establishment thing of him.
Oh.
And they really need to do some. I know a huge chunk of the people who watch NXT, especially who are an NXT show, already know who Ricochet is. But they have done nothing to explain Ricochet to anyone who's never seen him before. Which is very unlike WWE. I mean, they had him walk out of that office on last week's show expecting everyone at home to know who he is. They didn't even put a graphic under the damn screen. Tell him his name. You already know who he is. I thought that was a huge misstep in his presentation.
Yeah, it's been kind of strange that I mean, him and EC3 are really in the same boat, where they basically introduced them to put them in this match.
Yeah, it is kind of a strange deal. Although they did a little bit more character development with EC3. Although hilariously, the whole reasoning behind, how do you even explain the reasoning behind the EC3 name? unless Aunt Dixie's going to start making some appearances.
Oh, I would have a good laugh if that happened.
I think I would too.
I mean, it's not quite the level of Eric Bischoff coming on Raw, but
no,
it is something like it. Just that much of it. I know that she's kind of been on some of, because wasn't she on an AJ, was it the AJ Styles DVD, or was it just a special on the network? Or is it both?
It was the Kurt Angle special.
Kurt Angle special.
That she was talking head of, yeah. So, I mean, I guess they're not completely averse to having her involved in things, but there's a huge world of difference between Dixie Carter and Eric Bischoff, and that goes from name recognition and on-screen talent. So yeah, but you know, again, EC3 is something of a known name. You can explain it. You know, he's the one percenter. You can say he comes from a wealthy family, and had all the best trainers and all, and go through that whole, cliched spiel, but it still works. He's a pretty good heel, I'm less concerned with him than I am with, you know, this whole Ricochet, this guy who flips a lot, who you're already supposed to know who the hell he is.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of funny. I didn't quite get the whole way through We Watch Stuff, but Jeremy mentioned that he hasn't seen him that much. Of course, he's also watched Lucha Underground and forgot that he was on there. So, and I will admit that, you know, my watching of Ricochet has been limited to what few things I've seen on YouTube of him, which, you know, hasn't been a terribly large amount. But, you know, I guess I definitely know what to expect with his style.
Yeah, absolutely know what to expect. You know, his style, he's arguably the best high flyer in the world. I obviously have seen a lot of his work as Principal when Lucha Underground. I've seen some of his New Japan match. I mean, he had a match with Will Ospreay last year, you know, went, you know, crazy viral, and it was talked about and debated about. So he's got a name, but he's also, as Ricochet, unlike EC3, he has, like, no time on national television.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so they do need to do a little more work with him, presentation-wise. But, you know, he'll be great to watch in that match, though. So, you know, I'll deal with that part, I suppose. And then, do you think of the old Velveteen Dream has a shot at this one?
I completely forgot he's in this damn match. Wow.
Well, yeah, he's the only guy that we really haven't talked about in this crew.
He's definitely possible, but he's also he's been forgotten about. I don't know if there was an injury issue. But if I remember correctly, he missed at least one set of tapings and thus weeks of TV. He came back and tried to do a little – I think he tried to start a Twitter angle with various independent guys or guys who came from the independents in NXT that hasn't really reflected on TV. He's kind of been just thrown in this match. This match has been – is Well, obviously, this match is very thrown together. They literally announced it on the second to last week of the show, and then just did one quick brawl segment at the end of this week's show to hype it up. But
yeah,
it's a ladder match with, you know, six talented guys in it. It will be good. I don't think we have to worry much about that unless guys like Lars Sullivan and Killian Dane are really, really, you know, fishes out of water in a ladder match situation.
Yeah,
interestingly, Ricochet really is the only real flyer in the match. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that all works out, because they're all not, you know, the same style of worker in that match.
Yeah, I guess I never get too worried, because it's just like Kane has been in a bunch of good ladder matches, and he is definitely not a high flyer.
Right.
So I guess I'm not really too concerned about that. I mean, they'll probably use it more as a prop, you know, to attack each other with, just because there are a lot of, like you point out, I mean, they're mostly more physical guys. Because even EC3 is more of a, you know, you'd probably say Smash Mouth kind of style, along with Killian Dane and Lars Sullivan. Velveteen Dream is probably a little more of an in-between than Ricochet is.
Right.
So, yeah, there's an interesting mix in the match. Oh, and Adam Cole, I guess. You know what? Adam Cole isn't really that much of a flyer. Like, not that he doesn't do some acrobatic moves, but I wouldn't really call him a flyer. So, yeah, a lot of guys kind of stay on the ground in that match.
Yeah. Like I said, it's an intriguing mix of styles, and it should make it for an excellent match. And if it was my pick, I would have it be the opener.
Yeah. Well, in another match that we alluded to, because I think we can save the championship matches for last, Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa. I always love how unsanctioned matches still happen at a sanctioned event, but that being the case, it should be a fun matchup. You know, both of these guys can go. I've been a fan of both of them for a while, because I like Ciampa on ROH, and he hasn't done anything to disappoint me in NXT.
Yeah, they've been building this matchup for quite a long time. It's been a very, very, it's been an excellent build-up. They've told a great story with this whole thing, although I'm a little less on Team Johnny after some of the more childish things they had him do, like a knock on Tommaso Ciampa's door at 3 o'clock in the morning. But not so mad that he was going to break the door down and beat him up in his own house. He was waiting for him to answer the door. So that one was just like,
took a little step. Either way is a
ridiculousness.
Yeah, either way is a step too far for someone being a babyface.
Yeah. The first part of that word is what Johnny came off as during that segment. But overall, you know, it's been well done with, you know, Ciampa, you know, first turning on Gargano, of course, turning on him when they knew he was going to be out for surgery for nearly a year. But they were able to pick back up in January, starting with the takeover there in Philadelphia, and then built to the Ciampa doing the ultimate, you know, the ultimate bad deed to Gargano by costing him a loser leaves the NXT match against Almas.
Yeah.
And then from there, Ciampa really has been arguably the best heel in the business. He, you know, takes his act to Twitter and does not break character at all on Twitter. He is not, you know, which I can really appreciate.
Yeah.
And he, you know, the heat he has been getting, I mean, not at Full Sail, but at Atlanta at the NXT, at the NXT Unreal. So I think everything about this, other than some of the skits, well, the skit with the car, that was fine at the Performance Center, but as I said, the stuff at Ciampa's house was went a little too far. But in the end of the day, and once again, this has heat. It's been a well done story. You could arguably put it on last.
Oh.
It's been the top thing really in NXT, you know, this year so far. Don't know how much I like the stipulation about, you know, yeah, that if job back.
Oh.
You were to lose a second Loser Leaves Town match and then be rewarded with a raise in promotion on the main roster. But I do see, you know, I do see Gargano winning this, getting back on NXT, and possibly, and actually I'd say if he's going to go back to NXT when he's got, you know, he's got all the talent in the world for the main roster, but if there's more story to be told with him in NXT, I think he has to win that title, which will play into my prediction for the main event once we get there.
Well then, yeah, let's move along to maybe the co-main event of sorts here. Ember Moon versus Shayna Baszler. You know, they've already had one match, and I enjoyed that.
Yes, that it was a very good match. That especially played to Shayna Baszler's strengths, while also, you know, showing that Ember Moon has, you know, a never say die spirit, and she is, you know, she can, you know, she you know, she's got a ingenuity in the ring that she can, you know, that, you know, she was in a tough spot in a submission hold, and she was able to, you know, roll up, yeah, Baszler for the pin. But Baszler has, you know, since, as you know, after that moment, immediately right after that moment, you know, wreaked hell in the life of Ember Moon, because she is, you know, attacked her at every opportunity. She's,
oh,
you know, ran her down, you know, ran her down and insulted her at every shot. You know, she's gotten herself back into contention here, and I see the title change in here.
Yeah, a lot of these events always seem like the changing of the guard for the champions, especially in NXT. And this one kind of seems like it. Like, it almost seems like Ember Moon's been stuck in neutral a little bit as champion. And I think that she has better challenges ahead of her on the main roster.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Ember Moon will find herself on the main roster post-WrestleMania. So, yeah, this is a good time as any to change the title and set Shayna Baszler on a monster, on something of a monster run for the, you know, as champion. Don't know exactly who. Looks like they could be the next. I guess they could set it right back with Kairi Sane, seeing as they're one on one now and against each other. So I could see that being the next women's championship feud. But so yeah, I mean they've done a great job making Shayna Baszler into a killer heel. So I think this, the next step here is, you know, having her take the. I'm not going to say it won't be a competitive match, but in the end, I see Baszler taking the title in a pretty dominant fashion.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see that. You know, I guess it to play up the part that you mentioned earlier about the fighting spirit, it's going to need to be a little bit longer of a match. So I don't think it's going to be, you know, thoroughly dominant for a long time period. But I wouldn't be surprised if she kind of, you know, it's 60-40 in favor of at least maybe 70-30 for offense for Baszler in that situation. Yeah, and then I guess we can get to the main event, which is, or at least I would think, would be Andrade Cien Almas with Zelina Vega taking on Aleister Black. You know,
it feels like there's something missing from this one.
Shahid has mentioned it. It seems like they've moved Aleister Black along, and this is kind of the only spot for him to be, but it doesn't seem like his time to win the belt.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't feel right at all to take the belt off of Almas, and as I mentioned earlier, if we're going to keep Gargano on NXT, he has to score that big win. So I do certainly see... I see Aleister Black falling in this one. Should be a good match.
Well, and I mean, I guess if you're going for argument's sake, that's one reason. If you think Gargano's gonna win, and you want to, the WWE does have a tendency to send you home happy. Having Almas win is not exactly doing that.
Yes, that's why I said I could certainly see Gargano Ciampa going on last. I think that Almas and, as I said, Almas and Black have, you know, can have a very good to great match, but it's just again, something is just missing here. Something's just not clicking with these two, and Aleister it's more on Aleister Black. It's just something that's just, that's again, there's just a block there that just made me think that it is time for Aleister Black to win that title. I don't feel like there's a groundswell of support for him. I think he's well liked. I think he's got, a cool entrance. He's got great body, facial expressions of body language. He's a great worker.
Yeah.
But there's just something. There's just something missing, and you know, in his title chase, to feel like it's like a culmination of, you know, there's no feeling that this is the culmination of a grand story or a lifelong dream or anything of that sort.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. Like, I know that I don't always watch NXT as consistently as could be. it always did seem like there was almost a lack of motivation, not in the sense that he was lazy, lack of motivation, but like you didn't ever know the reason why Aleister Black was just taking out the people that he was taking out. It was just like, oh, I got this match and I just whooped this guy.
Yes. I guess there is a question about what is Aleister Black really supposed to be? Is he a zombie? Is he a vampire?
yeah, I think that's where the disconnect is. Like,
yeah,
like you said, he has a cool entrance. He knows how to wrestle. Like, he's kind of got everything, but the persona. They do a very good job of presenting that through the video packages and even just the way that he looks. So, there's a cat scratching the couch.
Hey. Yeah. There's just...
There's
Black, I think it has a lot of pieces... I don't know if they've put it all together yet as to, you know, what he is. As we said, you know, who he is, what are his motivations, why does he seem like this stoic gothic character? Why does he care about the NXT Championship? What does he have against Andrade San Almas? Why did he bring out Candice LeRae to beat up Zelina Vega? How would those two even know each other? is she hanging out at vampire clubs or goth clubs or something? I don't feel like that's something Candice LeRae's character would do.
Yeah, that, like you said, there's kind of a lot of questions involved with that, and yeah, just with his character in general. And I think that's, you know, he's kind of in that weird spot that Bray Wyatt got put in that his character is so wacky and his motivations are so out there. He doesn't necessarily care about winning the championship. Like, it almost, you know, both of them, it doesn't seem like that's their main motivation. You know, most guys kind of treat it like a, you know, wrestling like a sport when they're presenting themselves. But those guys don't. And sometimes a lack of motivation as to why they're going after that at that time is missing. So, I guess it'll be pretty interesting. That match is kind of up in the air as to who will win, because everyone just seems to think that that Almas is going to retain right now.
Right.
You know, we decided that we would also not only cover the NXT, but Supercard of Honor. I do watch, as I've admitted a number of times, a lot of Ring of Honor TV.
I have been picking back up the Ring of Honor TV. But if you really want the best version of the story they're telling as it relates to the main event, I certainly recommend anyone checking out, say, the last 5 episodes or so of Being the Elite, the whole Cody versus Kenny Omega, you know, Battle for the Bullet Club story has been done very well there. This is the biggest show in ROH history.
I always feel like maybe I'm looking for extra holes when people talk about this stuff. I believe our good friend Dan Keister has mentioned that you know, there's more logic in Being the Elite than anything on WWE TV. But the one thing about the Being the Elite skits that WWE does all the time is that no one watches the show. Because both Matt and Nick Jackson, they could have noticed on separate episodes that they were both solicited by Cody Rhodes about a singles run.
Oh, in the last episode.
But
they finally talked to each other about it, and so we're like, what? No way. Cody told me the same thing. I don't think we can trust this guy.
Yeah, I mean, they did it, but they did it within the context of the show.
Yeah.
Not within the context of, oh, I could have watched this on YouTube just like the 100-some-odd thousand people that watch all of these.
And the whole thing about Cody manipulating the video of, they're actually showing you as Cody is editing the video.
Video, yeah.
The Kenny Omega video, and then showing it to the Young Bucks, and then at least Matt Jackson is buying it hook, line, and sinker when the final video goes up, you actually see Cody fucking with Omega's tape.
Yeah.
So I mean
it's enjoyable. Obviously, don't get me wrong.
It is really well done stuff.
But
you know, this is probably the biggest match in Cody Rhodes' life. He is main eventing a big show that is, drawing over 6,000 people in New Orleans. up against NXT TakeOver. That's a lot of people watching the, you know, the quote-unquote B shows of the weekend in New Orleans tomorrow night. You know,
well,
a combined 15,000 fans watching, or however it was. I don't know how many people they're going to try to squeeze for NXT. I think they're going to maybe set it for 10,000. Maybe it's 15,000, 16,000.
Oh.
They're going to be watching all these shows. And not even to mention that there's maybe one or two other shows going on in New Orleans. You know, wrestling in New Orleans is pretty crazy this weekend.
Yeah.
But Cody Rhodes is in the main event. And he's been mentioning all week his entire family's coming in town for it. His mom, who never comes and sees shows live. And, you know, he certainly talked his way, you know, into the main event of the biggest ROH show ever. Now it's time to deliver. You know, even Cody himself makes the jokes about, even jokingly calls himself the three-star savior to make fun of internet fans who, come at him on the Twitter.
Yeah, I guess I never had a problem with his matches. I had a lukewarm start to how this was going for him, but I mean, he's really sustained it for a longer time period at this juncture.
Yeah, he absolutely has.
So, you know, it's kind of hard to say that it's a joke. And I think that something that I complained about a lot is that, I think he said it on Chris Jericho's podcast. He's just like, can I just get some chicken salad instead of some chicken shit and have to turn it into chicken salad for a change? he was given and ran with a lot of gimmicks in his WWE days, and all of them ended up becoming more entertaining than I would have ever thought. You know, they were all limited though, which ended up being a problem, is that he'd have like a 2-3 year run with a gimmick, and then, you know, it's, oh, dashing Cody Rhodes. Now it's something else, Cody Rhodes. You know, he kind of kept on shuttling from thing to thing. And I think when you really get popular, you don't shuttle between the gimmicks that much. You might change, like, the gear that the gimmick's in, but and kind of add to it. But you don't really change it that wholesale. And he has a character now that he can alter and keep on, you know, tailoring with from, you know, even this heeldom part that he's going through right now. I mean, I would see a way back to him being a babyface.
Yeah, there's always a way back to being a babyface. Right now, he is, you know, he's being a consummate heel. He's being an excellent heel. He's doing nothing but being a heel. Again, there's a lot of matches this weekend, a lot of great workers wrestling each other. But this match, this main event, has emotion behind it. It has strong talkers involved. It feels like the main event of a supercard.
Yeah, because as much I love me some Dalton Castle, I also have a Marty Skrull t-shirt, but that certainly does not, they've done a good job of actually building that up on ROH TV.
Yeah.
Because Skrull's kind of been after the title for a little over a month now, or at least putting his face into the ring when Jay Lethal got his chance first at Dalton Castle. So, you know, they've kind of put him in that spot, but I guess I just see it as them continuing to keep Castle on top.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see this being the time to coronate Skrull as champion.
No. It's not quite time yet, although it would possibly be an interesting wrench to throw in the whole Bullet Club storyline where, you know, Cody and Kenny are fighting over leadership, and then it's Marty Scurll who becomes,
ROH champion.
In the whole... And Cody has been trying to convince Marty Scurll to go out on his own, to be the villain club. I mean, what I think they're going for here, and I may be wrong, is Cody Rhodes just wants everyone out of the Bullet Club, so he can just keep making that, making all that merchandise money for himself.
You know, that could be a story to be told. I'm not sure how long it lasts.
Right, right, right.
Especially when he's just by himself.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fun story up to that point, and then you're like, oh shit, what do I do now?
It's been a good story, and it's again, you know, three of the matches on the show are all kind of the interwoven into the Bullet Club storyline, because there's also the six-man ladder match with the Young Bucks and Bullet Club / All In,
Flip Gordon.
Flip Gordon, who is, you know, in training to be part of, wants to be in the Bullet Club, wants to be on All In September, but only the young Bucks seemingly tolerate him at all, and everyone else can't stand him.
I've got to admit, he's another guy that I've enjoyed his matches, at least. I've definitely seen the whole, and I'm not sure if it's a, is it a work, or is it really real that he believes the Earth is flat?
I believe it's true. He does believe the Earth is flat. Yes, he's a flat earther. And he gets shit for it all the damn time.
As in, he deserves to get shit for it all the damn time.
Exactly, yeah.
Because fuck that. But anyway, if I ignore that part of moronicism from him, I've enjoyed his in-ring work. You know, he does seem to have a good personality. The guy's good looking. So I think that he could be pretty well off for himself moving forward. But I mean, he is really young, so I mean, I don't know how much, or at least as far as I can tell, he's young in the wrestling business. So I guess that leaves something for him to build to. But, you know, I guess I don't also know his whole story. Or how long he's been around.
Character development, particularly for the undercard guys.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm kind of looking at. Well, I think the one thing I think someone that maybe needs a little bit of help, but didn't get a whole lot of help when his tag team partner went down, is Chuck Taylor. He kind of got thrown into a match because Trent Barretta got injured. They have not really explained that gimmick to its fullest. Like they do a shtick in the ring. And I guess I kind of get it, and it's kind of funny, a little bit at least. But there still seems like we're missing something from the ROH presentation of it.
Yeah. We've mentioned it before. I mean, the ROH TV presentation leaves a lot to be desired. Things like, you know, because the best friends, Beretta and Taylor, are, you know, they work a lot in Japan. They work in a lot of other indies. I don't believe either of them are signed to any kind of an exclusive ROH deal. So they miss plenty of shows.
Oh yeah.
So they don't get to have that much time to really explain, you know, what their tag team gimmick is. And now with Beretta out of action, Taylor's on his own. trying to find his place in Ring of Honor. They're kind of throwing him into a nothing happening opening match at the show. So
yeah, and I like Jonathan Gresham is a wrestler, but he's another guy that very little character development.
Right.
Although he's had more mic time just because he kind of was teamed a little bit with the Motor City Machine Guns for a while.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of him, at least for a 30-day period. I am a subscriber of their Honor Club streaming service. Be watching this show, though, really. And the rest of their April lineup I will be watching, so hopefully I can do a better job of familiarizing myself with the ROH undercard.
And the Briscoes match against Jay Lethal and a Hiroshi Tanahashi, I don't know why I couldn't spit that out of my mouth the first time. I've seen enough Japanese names to be able to say them. This is kind of a nothing doing kind of match. The Briscoes are heels again, so they've got to do something to keep their characters somewhat relevant.
Yeah, there's a number of matches that are really just ROH versus New Japan matches that to get the New Japan guys on the show. Obviously, the tag titles are not going to be changing here. And obviously, Jay Lethal's taking the pin in this one as well.
Yeah, and they've done a decent job on the ROH TV of building the Kenny King and Silas Young feud for the TV title.
Yeah, that's been well done, too.
Because King had it, I believe, lost it to Silas, then won it back. And Silas has kind of been a thorn in his side ever since he won it back. So last man standing for this will make it stand out. It definitely kind of fits the last real man character of Silas Young.
That's good. Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. That they're going with that. Last man standing. Does work with Silas Young's character, and it puts Kenny King in a situation to prove himself as a man and put down Silas Young for a count of 10. Yeah, that's all been really well done. Punishment for Martinez versus Tomohiro Ishii. That's an interesting match for sure. I could definitely see that either being very good or a clash of style, or a total style clash. Although they're both big hard hitting guys, so they should be able to work well together.
Yeah, that's kind of what I expect. Like I expect just a big guy hard hitting match with you're not going to get a whole lot of flying. Even though Punishment Martinez does have a fair amount of flying ability, considering his size. Although a lot of his size does come from his height, not necessarily his girth.
Yeah, he doesn't really have much girth. He's a really tall guy, about 6'7", 6'8", or who knows, maybe a legit 6'5", 6'6", who knows. But he's got a great, an Undertaker-like vertical leap over the top rope in the case of Punish Martinez, he does it in every match.
He's pretty impressive, I'd have to say. It could almost be used to be dialed back and saved a little bit more. But he's a fun little character. I mean, he's something, it kind of reminds me a little of Vampiro, I guess, in presentation back in the day. So, that should be a fun one. And I really think that underrated-wise, because it's the only match we haven't really talked about. Oh, well, there's two things we haven't talked about. I would say that an underrated match that probably won't get as much time as I would like would be Hangman Page versus Kota Ibushi.
Yeah,
I've really liked a lot of Page's work in the last probably calendar year or so.
Yeah, he's really well. He's really improved. He was not someone I ever looked forward to seeing until pretty recently. But he's really stepped up. He's really stepped up his game. Match with Ibushi is who's pretty much always great. Every time I see him, is a great opportunity for him on a stage like this. It's of course wrapped into the whole Bullet Club storyline with, you know, obviously Ibushi aligned with Kenny Omega and the Golden Lovers, and they've established that of everyone in Bullet Club, Adam Page is most loyal to Cody Rhodes.
Oh, right.
So once again, it's not just a match for the sake of having, you know, a good work rate match. There's a story there. There's a feud. There's a riot. There's a, you know, there's a disdain for each other between the two men. So I think that could be a show stealer. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing that is going on is Women of Honor finally getting a champion. They have shown some of the matches on TV in this run-up, although they still didn't. They only showed highlights of some of the matches of the tournament. Yeah. But I mean, that's still something that is, as much as I think there's too much WWE TV sometimes, ROH. They have enough of a roster now that 2 hours could be used. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
No, not with the way that not in a syndicated television environment. No, I don't see it. It's late night programming for Sinclair stations and then whoever else they can sell it to. So yeah, I don't see that.
Right.
It would be good for the Women of Honor. Although once again on this show, it needs to be noted, the two Women of Honor matches, including one featuring one Miss Tennille Dashwood, who, you know, coming off of WWTV as Emma, their matches are being put on the pre-show. The ROH Facebook pre-show. So these will not be taking place during the course of the main body of the show.
Oh, so it's just the championship match will be on the main show then.
Not on this show. I don't remember when the finals are supposed to take place, actually.
Wikipedia is telling me it's supposed to take place the same night. So
then ROH is doing a terrible job of explaining that, both on TV and on social media.
Oh. Well, yeah, I guess I would assume if you're doing the semis, you need to do the finals in the same night. Like, that's just kind of, especially when you're doing a pay-per-view event. It seems crazy to hold off until the next pay-per-view in professional wrestling terms. In real wrestling terms, yeah, I could understand if it didn't happen the same night. But, I was a little surprised when I was watching ROH this week that Deonna Purrazzo lost to... Because there are a couple of Japanese women in the match. Mayu Watani is taking on Kelly Klein, and Sumi Sakai, she's been on one or two ROH matches that I've seen on TV. I think that the aforementioned Tennille Dashwood and Kelly Klein will end up meeting in the finals. So
that's a pretty good bet. I'm pretty certain that certainly Tennille Dashwood will end up in the finals. She may not win in the finals because I don't know if she's how much she's going to be committing to ROH going forward, seeing as she's in pretty high demand all over the world, and it'd be up to ROH to make it worth her while to make her, you know, at least more exclusive to them.
Right.
But I don't know if they're willing to put that out there. They still seem to be dipping their toe in the water of women's wrestling. They still don't feel like they're jumping right in.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that, I know that they produce it a lot for, YouTube. I still really haven't gotten around to giving it a chance to, watch, because I know that the Women of Honor, they come out on Wednesdays. So I don't know how well they do with those, but yeah, as far as an on-air TV product goes, it's the interest is still pretty limited because, again, like, I mean, there's only so much you can fit into an hour,
right?
And it's good because it does help keep some people fresh, but overall, again, they have enough talent that they could do more than that. But it's yeah, it's not happening. And the women are gonna suffer for it.
Right. I agree.
Anything else? Any parting shots before I hang up and honestly post this and then directly go to bed?
Just to tell you, Kevin, I hope you and Jeremy have a great time. Sorry I can't be I won't be joining you on this trip. Enjoy New Orleans. Enjoy the live shows you're attending. Enjoy your sippy time beers. Just have a great time.
Will do. At DeFrango 11, at Chris Calamita, Brand is at Stunt Granny, and hopefully, you know, you will contact us. If you're not in New Orleans, play along. I have a bunch of new tiny characters that my wife got me. She is 100% enabler, and the picture of tonight's beer will have the Usos in it. So with that, I am off.
Later.